If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And this is God's word. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Mark wrote Mark's gospel. We said that he got his info largely from Peter, the apostle. In Acts, we have volume 2 of Luke's gospel, if you will. Luke wrote his gospel, did careful research, did a lot more detail than Mark shared in his account of the gospel. But in the book of Acts, he picks up where Luke left off. In other words, it's still Luke writing, but the gospel of Luke ends, and then the book of Acts tells the next part of the story. In my former book, Theophilus, Luke says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Notice the word began. All that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So he's going to describe the ascension of Jesus Christ in the later verses here. But he isn't introducing that subject as some new thing that, Theophilus, I bet you didn't know about the ascension, did you? He knows that that is something Christians knew. He says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now, again, I said, notice the word began. Because Jesus wasn't finished with what he was doing and teaching when he was taken up to heaven. The book of Acts is going to tell us, it's often known as the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually the Acts of God through the apostles. God is the one who is at work. And God is still the one who is at work today. The Bible isn't still being written. The Bible is complete. But even though the Bible is complete, God's work is not yet finished. He is continuing to work. He is continuing to teach. And in fact, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he brings conviction to the world, but he also brings instruction to the church. That's why we're not just a bunch of people studying a book. We're the people of God meeting with him in order to better understand what he has spoken. And he still speaks to us today through his word. So, all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Why did he have to give convincing proofs? Because dead people don't come back. Not like that. I mean, there were some people who'd been resuscitated, if you will. They'd been brought back temporarily. But Lazarus was going to die again, and the son of the widow of Nain is not out on the circuit somewhere making speeches. All these folks, even though they came back from the grave, it was temporary. Jesus came back as the first fruits, and he is still alive today. He's alive. And we need to know that he's alive. Because if you treat Jesus just as an ancient historical figure, you don't know him. I'd like to introduce you. He's alive. We can know him in a personal way, not just know about him. We can know him. We can trust him. We can talk with him. And he will instruct us if we want to know what he wants us to do. Well, where do we find such instruction? In his word. Go to the scriptures and see what he says. God will never contradict himself. But I'm trying to decide whether or not I ought to buy that car. And the Bible doesn't address which brand of automobile to get. No, but the Bible does tell us a lot about stewardship and about seeking the Lord. If you want to know, God will show you. He'll guide you. Don't think that God is off somewhere in another corner of the universe too busy to help you with decisions. But he'll help you if you want to do whatever his will is, not if you just want some input and then you're going to make up your own mind.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out back to the scriptures. Jesus showed himself alive and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's important because it did not come naturally to believe. It comes by the work of God, and Jesus didn't mind giving proofs to those who wanted to know the truth. If you want to know the truth, God will make it clear to you. If you're looking for an excuse not to believe, you'll find plenty. So he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, please notice that phrase, the kingdom of God. Take a look at the last part of the book of Acts. In chapter 28, verse 31, you've got the ending of the book of Acts. Talking about Paul, who's in his own rented house there in Rome. And it says, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. At the start of the book of Acts and at the end of the book of Acts, you've got a statement concerning what the book of Acts is all about. What Jesus was preaching about in the Gospels. It's about the kingdom of God. Well, you know, I come from a tradition that doesn't talk a lot about the kingdom of God. Well, then you come from a tradition that's not very biblical. Because you see, we need to recognize John chapter 3, okay? John chapter 3 says Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The goal is not new birth. Well, we just want to get them born again. That's not the goal. The goal is the kingdom. And in order for us to perceive the kingdom, we've got to recognize we're not the king. Jesus is Lord. And when we realize that Jesus Christ is Lord, then the kingdom is all about him, not about us. So all through this book, you're going to see the spread of the kingdom as people believe the good news and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And as the kingdom advances, we're going to see persecution all through this book, just like Jesus said there would be, just like there still is in the world today. One of the places where there's intense persecution right now is in Iran, which also happens to be one of the places where the church is growing faster than anywhere else. Because God is spreading the kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel. And people are getting saved despite the fact that it can cost them imprisonment or even death. Of course, Iran's not the only place the church is growing rapidly. There are other places like China where the persecution is intense and the church is growing rapidly. India, where the persecution now is intense and the church is growing rapidly. Do we want to see revival in this country where the people of God are excited about the kingdom of God and eager to spread the good news? Do we want to see that happen? Of course we do. Well, what if it will require that the church be purified with suffering? Oh, what kind of suffering? That's a non-issue. What matters is the kingdom of God. If we suffer some in this life so that many more will be spared eternal suffering, isn't that worth it? Well, I'd like it better if we could just do some remote shoots and, you know, broadcast stuff and get people saved that way. Well, somehow the gospel has more credibility when the people who are proclaiming it have paid a price. One of the most amazing, impressive, persuasive individuals I've ever heard sharing the gospel was Corrie ten Boom. She was the only member of her family who survived the concentration camps. She had credibility because of what she'd been through. When through fiery trials I caused thee to go, the river of sorrow shall not overflow. My grace will be with you. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. God's not being cruel. God is creating beauty by getting rid of the junk. Well, he gave many convincing proofs. Over a period of 40 days, he appeared to them, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. If that's what Jesus chose to speak about, that's what we better be speaking about. He is Lord, and his kingdom will last forever. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, and it was a command. Please notice that. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a piece of advice. He gave them this command. Why can he do it? Because he's Lord. He's Lord. We're not. We're not the king. He is. And so he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, God willing, we're going to talk more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit as we go through the book of Acts. But I'll tell you this right now. There are a whole lot of people who get very uncomfortable if you start talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the reason is because there are some traditions that emphasize that term, and those people are kind of, you know, over the top. Now, some of you may be those over the top people, and right now you're getting excited, and you're thinking, oh boy! But let me just tell you, it's not about a tradition or a denomination. It's about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said we'd be better off after he ascends, because only then is the Spirit going to be outpoured. That's what he told his disciples. We find that, you know, man, I just wish I could see Jesus face to face. Well, how about having him live inside you instead? Okay? Because that's what happens. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit is far more magnificent than the devil wants you to know. But if we look at what the scriptures say about who he is and what he does, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's mind-boggling to think that Almighty God would take up residence in us. Okay? I mean, I'm not just amazed he'd do that in you. I'm astounded he would do that in me. And if you're saying, well, you, Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know my life. I don't think that I deserve that. Oh, you don't. I don't either. But Jesus gives us new life. And that life is in Christ. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. So, Jesus told them in verse 4, you guys already have been with me for several years. You know everything you need to know. Go ahead and get on out there and start spreading the news. That's not what he told them. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Notice it's a gift. The gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Have you ever tried to teach somebody something? Maybe your child, maybe someone else you've tried to teach, and you think you've really made it clear. And then they ask a question that makes it really clear that they didn't get what you were saying. There are times when we try to teach someone something and they just don't get it. Jesus has been teaching them for years about the kingdom of God. And the disciples take on it. First of all, they just refused to believe he was going to the cross. They were astounded about the resurrection even after it happened. But now, he's told them about the kingdom of God. He's explained from the scriptures how all the Old Testament was pointing to him. And so they have a question for him. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still waiting on what they had mistakenly thought the kingdom of God was all about. They wanted the Jews to be in charge. Okay? I mean, we want the kingdom, okay? I mean, come on. The whole world's supposed to come and bow and you know, we're going to be the leaders. We're going to be the ones in charge. And Jesus, I mean, you know, I picture Jesus with that emoji. You know, guys. But his response is very gracious. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He takes them back to what he's previously told them more than once. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is an outline of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes on them in power, and they become the witnesses who start out in Jerusalem and then move into Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth. Now, why is that important? Well, because that was God's plan from the beginning. It was always God's plan. It's always going to be Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's heart has always been for the whole world. And he said so even in the Old Testament. But despite that, as we're going to see in the book of Acts, every time he took them to the next stage, there was resistance from them, not just from the people out there. But they were like, you can't mean this. You want us to deal with Samaritans? Jesus had shown them before the cross his concern for the Samaritans. He tells a story, and the good guy is a Samaritan. But when God opens the door in Samaria, man, is this really God? Is God really doing this? God wants to save people like that? Yes, God wants to save people like that, whoever that is. And we've got to understand that the purpose of the gospel is not so that we can make clubs of people who are just like us, look like us, dress like us, talk like us, act like us. That's not what it's about. God is in the process of bringing people in from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's the plan from the start. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 says that's the way it's going to end up. And it's going to be grand, okay? We get little tastes of that here and there. One of the great joys of my life has been going into various countries and preaching to people whose languages I did not know, but God did. Oh, Pastor Wood, are you saying you spoke in tongues and they understood you? No, I'm saying I had very good translators, okay? I wouldn't mind if I spoke in another language that I hadn't learned and those people understood. That'd be fine with me. But God does what he chooses. And we'll talk more about that in the days to come as well, God willing. So, the focus for today is simply on the fact that Jesus is going to continue to work, he's going to continue to act, and it's going to be something that spreads worldwide. It's the fulfillment of his promise and plan. But you and I can't play the role we're supposed to unless we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, I've heard that phrase used to mean different things. Please tell me that you mean what I like. God willing, as we go through this study, we'll all embrace what God says, because that's all that matters. It's not what I like. It's not what I'm comfortable with. It's not what I'm used to. It's not what I grew up with. That's not what matters. What matters is what does God say? And that's our goal. We're going to be studying God's Word together, God willing. And I hope you'll be praying for me as I seek to teach it, for you, that you would receive it, and for all the rest of us, that we would be open to what God would do among us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.